And we are live in the middle of the one of the best football games of the season, but we're here to record Hard Talk Podcast because Josh says football is a fake sport. So we are here live, Hard Talk Podcast. Jordan, take it away.
All right, this is Hard Talk Podcast. I am your host, Jordan. I am here with...
It's Josh.
And it's Yoel.
And I'm a little perturbed because last week we recorded a guest who I think will be come on after this, but he requested his own intro music and it completely threw me off. And if there's anything wrong with the episodes, it is a result of that, and that will never happen again. But Josh, I think you have more bones to pick than I do tonight, and that is because more people were added to your list.
I think there are a few people who've gotten some comments. Thank you guys for the comments. Gotten a few emails also. We'll get to that later.
What type of list are we talking about?
The list of people that I think have personal thoughts about some things that I've said on the pod.
Well, I think in general, there are people that kind of identify with one or the other, think that one person is superfluous, or right. One person does better than the other, and that's fine, right? Not everyone's going to like everybody.
A lot of it is geared against Josh.
Fair. I mean, the truth is that I do take a brunt of the bullying here. I think we can all agree.
Criticism. Yeah, we don't call it bullying.
Not bullying, but constructive criticism. Some of this. So there was one specific comment that I won't say the name, but she's the mother of someone here, that the exact comment that she wrote was, also, Josh knows surprisingly little music scene. Let me say something.
And the is regarding music.
Yeah, scene, exactly. Right. I consider myself somewhat of an expert in music, specifically when it comes to, I don't want to say the jam band scene, but there's specific bands that I've spent a lot of time listening to and going to concerts and just consider myself a pretty knowledgeable music guy. And so when someone says that I know surprisingly little, it hurts.
To be like knowledgeable in the subject, does that also include telling the truth about which concerts you've attended?
It does.
Okay, because I did get some feedback from somebody who's very close with you, actually grew up in the same house with you.
Please.
Claimed you were never at the last Grateful Dead show.
My brother, right?
I'm not going to say who was.
I was.
He claims you're at a Pearl Jam concert the same night or something.
There was a Pearl Jam concert, and it was a very difficult decision, but I'm happy with the decision that I made.
To go?
To go. To the Dead show.
Okay. I think it's fair, though, because I think it could be that someone maybe from a prior generation that, you know, maybe lived that scene or knew about it at the time would know way more than you because you're really focused on one mediocre band that you've seen like 300 times.
That's sort of true, but I do think that I have a well-rounded knowledge of music in general.
Well, you thought that.
I thought that until the comment. Yeah, okay. No, I don't think that anymore.
Yeah, right. Okay. Let's get into it.
I just want to point something out before we get to our guest. Jordan, you consider yourself a smart individual, Northwestern Law School.
I mean, I don't, but I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't say that about myself.
You tell me you're smart all the time. Oh, you're smarter than
compared to you.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Smart and young.
Yes. Right. And Josh, you're also very smart.
Not as smart as Jordan, but okay.
Okay. So I just realized, you know, we get on here and when we have a guest, we sort of like withhold who our guest is going to be in the intro until we introduce our guest. And then I realized when we have like the cover art of each podcast and the title, it shows exactly who the guest is. So right. Like we play it off as if it's some sort of mystery guest or a surprise, but actually everyone knows exactly who's coming on. So I want to know why you would think to use that as a surprise with your superior intelligence, Jordan.
Well, it's a good point because the episode is not published. I'm trying to stay in the moment, I would say, maybe. And in the moment, the audience does not know. I mean, when we put out the episode, they will know.
But they know when we're saying this right now, they know who the guest is.
I understand that. But right now, they do not know. Like while we're taping this right now, they're not aware. So I'm trying to stay in the zone.
They're aware.
Okay, fine. I'll switch that up. We'll talk about the guest. First of all, who is sitting here? And we are very pleased to have with us tonight Alderman. It's Alderman, not Alderwoman, Alderman. It's Alderman, right?
It's technically Alder.
Okay. Just Alder.
Wow.
Yes, but I go by Alderman, Alderwoman. Anything you want to call me is totally fine.
Do you mind if we just call you Deborah?
That's perfect.
Okay, so we are here with Alderman, Alder, Alderwoman, Deborah Silverstein tonight. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. I'm already smiling.
It's great to have you on. Okay.
You know, we're sort of a historical moment here. Should we explain why?
I think I know.
Please.
Am I your first female guest?
Oh. That is correct.
Yeah, I was
gonna, now let's talk about who's smart here. Yeah.
See, I was going to point out that Jordan, you know, seemed very nervous. And, you know, you might think that perhaps he's nervous, you know, because we have a female guest.
Because I'm talking to a woman.
To an alderman. But actually, you know, you went to an all-Jewish, you know, boys high school. And you probably,
right.
I'm not sure if you ever, you know, spoken with, you know, women before, besides your wife, obviously.
He has spoken with political figureheads, though, many times.
And who would that be?
Well, my father was in politics.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yes,
okay. So
yes.
First of all, we're pretty innocuous here. I think most of our listeners do not know our real identities. Is that fair?
That's fair.
So keeping it kind of on the DL, I won't go into it, but Alderman Silverstein Deborah is a neighbor of one of the people here, correct?
Where we record secretly.
So the first thing.
Wait, do we need permits to? I don't know.
If the inspectors come tomorrow, you'll know why.
Depends how the interview goes. The first thing I want to ask, Deborah, before we get into kind of your story and who you are, is that since you're a neighbor of Josh's, I want to go back, you know, something like a decade. This block was beautiful. There were beautiful single-family homes on the block. A carpetbagger comes along, scoops up a couple, and greedily knocks them down and builds a ghoulish mansion. What are your thoughts in terms of beautifying the city? You know, I don't want to go too deep into politics, but in terms of beautifying the city, but you have someone so close to home kind of wrecking the image and the beautification of your streets. Did that ever bother you, or do you like Josh's house?
I think Josh has a beautiful house.
Thank
especially
you,
since he invited me here today. I have to say
answer.
That. But wise I also, choice. If memory serves me correctly, I think Josh did build within his zoning rights.
That's correct. I did. No.
Did you ask for any sort of?
I did not get any sort of
variance
or a
administrative adjustment or zoning
like
change.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
So it was a pretty simple process.
Very simple.
How long did it take?
It took about a year.
Yeah. Nice. That's quick. Yoel actually has left for not greener pastures, I would say browner pastures.
Yes,
you know, leaving the city after many years.
Nothing to do with the alder. I just, you know, I lived in this ward for 44 years, minus one or two, then, you know, moved off to the other side of the river, five-bedroom house, but the one I bought is a little older.
A downgrade.
Downgrade, yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Simple.
You're always welcome back in the 50th Ward, just wow. FYI.
Oh, I am a homeowner, actually, in the 50th Ward.
How is that?
In the Chesterfield townhouses.
Oh, really? You just
yes.
in a vacation house?
In two places at once?
Yeah, vacation. The weather is nice in the, you know, in the summer. It's very nice to vacation here.
And what
summer.
Do you do, rent it out? It's like an investment property?
I do not rent it out.
What do you classify it as tax-wise?
Storage.
Okay.
Storage. I store my kids there. My grandkids.
By the way, that was a flex. Someone should have called
that
obviously.
Out. I was waiting for you.
Okay. So now that I understand.
Okay. So Deborah, thank you again for coming on. It's really an honor to have you here. The first thing I want to ask you is I noticed not now so much, but during the summer, you'd be walking a dog a lot. And I know that was it was one of your children's dogs, correct?
It's my grand dog.
Your grand dog?
Yes.
Okay. What are your thoughts? You've probably noticed there's a lot of dogs in the neighborhood now. Like, you didn't, you know, 10 years ago, you really didn't see much. And then, you know, COVID, and obviously there was an explosion. But even since then, I feel there's been, you know, like on Shabbos, there'll be like 20, 30 dogs down the block. Just curious your thoughts about the recent surgence of all these dogs.
Well, they're not just dogs in this neighborhood. I'm out knocking on doors all the time. And I could tell you probably every other house has a pet. So they're very popular. And you know what? As long as you take care of them and clean up after them, I think it's great.
See, I always felt that when people with dogs, like if you grew up with a dog, you love dogs and you need to get a dog, and then like if one day your dog passes on, then you just get another dog and you always continue to be a dog. But if you grew up without a pet, then I feel like you hate dogs and you feel like they're always going to bite you.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. Some people grow up and like always wanted a dog and became a dog person as an adult once they had their own household. Yeah.
But I also think that like people that grew up without a dog, I don't see them like wanting a dog as an adult. If you didn't have one as a kid, right, do you all of a sudden want one as an adult?
But I have seen people who
got... Deborah, did you have a dog?
No, I never had a dog, and I absolutely love my grand dog.
Would you get your own dog ever?
No, I would not. That's because you have to walk them early in the morning, and you have to go out again at night, so it's a little...
Yeah, how does that work? How often do they need to go to the bathroom,
I think like
these dogs?
I mean, Jordan, you grew up with
Jordan,
a dog.
Jordan, you're a dog guy.
I don't know. I think it depends on the dog. Depends on the size of the dog. Depends on their routine, maybe. Some dogs can go longer than others.
Right.
Can they go 12 hours without you taking them outside?
I don't know.
My granddog can go 12 hours. Yes.
Okay. I'm a little lost in this term, granddog. Mm-hmm.
That means it's her kid's dog.
Right. I understand.
It's pretty simple. You're lost in it?
Yeah. Very lost. Yeah.
Okay. this is a smarter thing coming into play right here.
Remember, we had the rule if he says something stupid, we can't say anything?
Yes.
That was the rule, Jordan.
No, but like fine, if I had a dog, if my kids had a dog, I would say, okay, this is my dog. I don't know.
It's not your dog, it's your kid's dog.
Is the dog beside because, by you?
Right. This ownership thing, right? The Chesterfield. Right. I get it. It's a different mentality. Okay, fine. I understand. Josh had a dog briefly. Did you notice him with the dog?
Yes, I did know. It lasted a couple of days. Is that it?
3 days.
It's very
yes.
sad. Wow. Very sad.
Sadly, I was allergic to the dog. And
You knew that going in?
I knew that going in. My wife said, you're going to try it. We tried it, and I couldn't breathe. Didn't last long.
Did you pick up from like one of those, what do they call it?
A breeder?
No, not a breeder. What's the ones that everyone says you should go get a pet from because there are all these like suffering animals?
Adopt a dog.
Yeah, like adopt a dog.
No, this was like a purebred.
But there's so many dogs that are looking for like a warm home. Why would you go ahead and pay for a dog?
What color was the dog?
It was like a brownish dog.
It was brownish?
It was one of these like little poodles. Yeah. Not a toy poodle. It's, I forgot the name, but it was a small dog.
Do you check in with it, make sure it's taken care of and everything?
Not once. Could care less.
Okay, Deborah.
Yes.
We want to get to know you better. I understand that you might be from Memphis.
You understand correctly.
Okay, well, I'm like the Ancestry.com researcher, genealogy obsessed guy a little bit. So when I have a guest on, I always try to kind of go into the background. So tell us about growing up in the South.
So actually, my father was born in Memphis. So we go back a long time. He has a lot of history. Living in Memphis. He was one of the first Orthodox families. My aunt went to school with Elvis Presley.
My aunt Shirley Halpert, who I knew very well of blessed memory because I went to Solomon Schechter and she was in the office there, a great woman. Did your father not go to high school with him?
My aunt Shirley was in his class.
Oh, in his class, but your father was also in high school at the time with him?
Yes, my father's older.
Okay.
So they weren't in the same class, but yes. And they had an Orthodox family, and my father actually was in the Air Force, and he went into ROTC and became an officer and had his own room so that he could put on tefillin.
Wow.
And not have anybody see him and have to explain, and it's a pretty smart thing.
Was he overseas at all?
No, he was not.
Okay.
It's very impressive.
Now, I anticipated this Elvis thing would come up, because I wanted to ask you. I didn't know that you were related to Shirley, though, so I did find that out, but... Yoel, in discussing this and doing our kind of like background, you know, powwow, Yoel had a theory on Elvis that I think it's worth him throwing out because I want to hear your take on this. So Yoel, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel Elvis, and now when I say I feel, it comes from, I mean, just take a step back. I mean, it's well known that any of my information usually is not from reading, not even particularly from movies or TV shows because I don't watch that much. It's usually more or less has to do with my encounters with people. And I've never really, and I've heard some of Elvis's music, I can't imagine that he was popular. I think that maybe after he died, people like, you know, made a big deal out of him. But he wasn't even like the Beatles. You know,
okay,
the
so Beatles stop right were, there. Yoel mentioned today, he contended
this is like MapQuest all
Elvis,
over again.
His idea was that Elvis wasn't popular until he died. And then he asked, when did he die? The 50s, the 60s? And like he didn't know
hold
at
on,
all.
Hold on. Can I stop there?
Oh, he said, why was he
hold
famous?
On, hold
from?
On, though. Hold on. Yeah. Before we do, this is an example of Yoel doing the introduction to the question.
Right.
Like, what was the question, right? Like, what was his thought? Well, he was introducing his thought so much, he forgot the original thought.
We have to help him. Yoel thinks that Elvis was not famous in his lifetime. He became famous only after he died.
Correct.
Thoughts?
Absolutely not. He's the king of rock and roll.
Exactly.
Later on, labeled the king of rock and roll, perhaps.
You know how many people watched him on the Ed Sullivan Show, Yoel?
There was nothing else. Did they have cable? Did they have Netflix? I mean, I don't think there was much to do.
It's a fair point.
Do you know Rabbi DeVoren, Jamie DeVoren?
Sure. Of course.
Did you know that his father was the one that would say Elvis has left the building after each performance?
I can pretend that I did not know that, but of course I knew that.
You knew that?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Wow. He came up with the line. He was the one, he was like the road manager, and he said he was the first one to say that.
Never knew that.
Okay, so go take us back to Memphis. So you're born and bred
in
Memphis.
I'm born and bred in Memphis, went to, it was called the Memphis Hebrew Academy back then, and went to the Yeshiva of the South.
Right off of Poplar Street. Are you impressed with that? That I know Poplar?
Yes, but it was off of White Station.
Oh, man. Oh my God.
Wow. She is just throwing down.
I have cousins in Memphis. They've been there for like 20 years. Or 25
not that
years.
Long.
Baron Hirsch, was that around then?
Baron Hirsch, yes. But I went to the Anschutzfahrt.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you don't have a Memphis accent, though.
I do not, but I can say y'all every now and then. Okay.
Did you know Rev Nutza Greenblatt?
I'm related to Rev Nutza Greenblatt.
No way.
Jordan, where is your...
So isn't this principal heart across the street also related?
Yes.
So that's your cousin?
Something distant like cousin, that? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So you went to high school in Memphis to a girls' school, and then what?
And then I went to Stern for about a year and a half, and then I came to Chicago.
Gotcha. And you studied accounting?
Accounting. I'm actually a certified public accountant.
Wow.
And that's not easy, right?
No, it is not.
Is it wrong to ask people how many times they took? Like, is it like asking like someone their weight or their age to ask them like how many times it took for them to
it's
take
a
the CPA test?
It's a very hard test.
No, most people have to take it like 3 or 4 times. First of all, I don't know why they would ever make a test that you're supposed to fail like every time.
Or you have taken like pieces, right?
Right, so yeah, like oh, there's 4 parts. And
well, when I took it, it was a 2.5-day test.
Wow.
Oh, but you took it all at the test? Same time, wow. Yes.
So you like went home and then came back the next day and...
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
And then you worked as an accountant for your
career? I worked as an accountant for 20 years.
Wow.
In Chicago.
Doing taxes, yes.
And then how did it come about that, you know, you wanted to get involved? How long have you been in Alder for? 10 years, 12 years?
It's almost 12 years. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Great.
Wow.
What was that transition like? Did you give up the side accounting stuff?
Yes, I did. The Alder person or alderman at the time was Bernie Stone.
Right.
And he had been the alderman for... gosh, 38 years, I think.
He was like the junior mayor, wasn't that his
yes,
name?
Yes, right. Yes. And even though he, in his time, he did a great job. He did a lot of good things for this community.
For sure.
He was getting older, and some things were...
falling by the wayside.
Yes, thank you. I had the opportunity to run for alderman, and I won, and I...
Never looked back.
Done a lot of good things for this community. Right now, I am the only Jewish alderman in the city council.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Wow. I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
And there's 50? Is that?
There are 50.
Yeah, 50. Okay.
I just want to point to something first before we talk further on that, is that Yoel also has a political career. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I would love to expand upon that. Back in high school, they had a student council. Obviously, everything goes back to high school because, once again, it's nothing to do with what I've read. It's all my life experiences. And they had student council. And basically, student council did nothing besides maybe like collect money from the vending machines like to do like nothing with. Anyway, the big perk of it was like once a month you'd miss class. So every year, like, you know, they would have elections. It was like twice a year, and they would be for the class representative. And also there was something called the DAL, the delegate at large. So there was like one per grade or 2 or 3 of them. Every year I ran, and I think I was 0-7. I don't think I ever won elections. So, and not only that, I ran for senior class vice president, and I also lost that. So I don't know if it was like a popularity contest and I just wasn't popular, or like, maybe I was popular, but people hated me because I don't know, or I don't
maybe
know what
you were
it was.
Too popular.
But like, it wasn't like something like that someone would like run upon. Like, you know, when you run from alderman, so obviously, you know, you have
a platform.
Right, platform. Like, there's no platform for like you're like a sophomore and like yeah, we're gonna go orienteering. I'm sure Josh remembers that
I
trip
do.
Orienteering.
But, well, there were like you could make like a speech, right? Weren't there like a speeches that people
but,
made?
No, that was like the DAL. But like right. In class, you just like run right. In class. Like right. I could never get out of class. So cool. I, so how does one go about winning?
Not to show you up, but I won class president also.
Whoa.
Well, if I would have ran for class president, I probably would have won. That's my assumption.
Oh,
it was just
I see.
Vice president.
Jordan, how many L's has Deborah given you all tonight so far?
Not a good number. Well, listen, he's not a red.
Well, he doesn't live here. That's
Ward.
Right.
I would not like to run against against Deborah. But I mean, what would you say are the keys to running a successful race? You know, obviously,
as
I mean,
a class representative.
Right. Well, a class representative, and even she seemed, you know, to win her first election. But you know, like, is it telling people your platform? Is it people, you know, looking at you and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm just like this, you know, this person"? Or what would you say? You know, like, would be a tip for, you know, someone to win an election?
Well, there's a lot involved in running for election, more than you probably think. So yes, you definitely need a platform, but you need a whole team beside you. You need campaign managers. I spend a lot of my time fundraising. You need to have enough money to run these campaigns because it involves mail, digital, field, knocking on doors. So it's a lot involved. There are questionnaires you have to get endorsed by. I've gotten the endorsement of the Chicago Federation of Labor, AFSCME, a lot of unions, but that requires you to fill out questionnaires for each and every one of the endorsements that you want to get. So that takes some time.
So can we assume that Abby Kahn, who was my senior class vice president, did all these things, and that's why she beat me in senior year? It was even more insulting because I think there were more guys than girls in the class. So I figured, okay, if all the guys would vote for the guy and the girls would vote for the girl, it'd be great. And I lost. But obviously, so I didn't have what it takes, you know, like Deborah.
They talk about certain famous, you know, election campaigns, right? Like, you know, if you're learning political science, they go back to Kennedy versus Nixon, right? The first televised debate. And Kennedy chose to put on the makeup and Nixon didn't. And his appearance came off as sweaty, right? Or there are, you know, other famous campaigns.
The Ronald Reagan
famous line. One of the great campaigns that I ever saw was I was in YU and a local Chicago native, Yoni Kushner, ran for, I don't know what it was, college president, something of the sort. He had free chalons all over campus in the middle of the day on a Wednesday. And he was known in Israel. He used to have Kush cuts. He gave haircuts, free haircuts all day long. So Chalon was going around campus and he was giving out haircuts. I just want to point that out.
Did he win?
Yeah, he won by a landslide.
I think that would work for the 50th Ward. Can you imagine you open up one of the shoals?
Should we try it?
Yeah.
You can try it, especially a little south.
I make a pretty darn good Chalon.
Hello, south of Pratt. A lot of
that,
voters
that
there.
That would work. Let me ask you a question. And I don't mean to take Jordan's job away from him, but okay, it's a regular weeknight, 8 o'clock, you're done with work for the day. What do you do to relax? Like, what do you do to, you know, unwind? Or, you know, you're at home, you want to chill out. Is it reading a book? Is it a movie? Is it going out?
Well, right now I don't have a lot of relaxing time because I'm in the middle of a campaign. So usually I am knocking doors every single night until around 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Door to door.
Door to door. Wow. Yes. And then I come home, have dinner, and have some other kind of work to get ready for the next day. But usually it's watching TV.
Okay. Any specific shows you like?
My favorite show is Murder in the Building. Murders in the Building. Have you seen that one?
I have not. It's Martin
it's
Short.
Only been, yes, and Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. My mom always tells me to watch that show.
Only Murders in the Building is
yeah,
what it's called.
It's on Hulu, maybe?
Yes, it's on Hulu.
Okay. Your mom is not as much of a TV expert as I thought she was.
Yes.
Why? Because she suggested a great show watched by our local Alder.
One to one. One to one.
Exactly.
Why mom? I thought it was Joel's mom that called you out of the music scene.
TV watching. Let's put it that way.
Well, here's my question. Bring it back. I'm going to get into the Joel zone. Obviously, I don't read.
Okay, give us the intro, 5 minutes, and then get to the question.
Here's the intro. As a child, as a ninth grader, a great CPA, another CPA, Katz and Miller Company, they gave me their business card to walk around like, it was almost like near Western to, you know, drop their business card in people's mailboxes.
They paid you to do this?
Yes, I think it was like $5 an hour, which was great money. By the way, I'm still open to it. Katz and Miller, if you guys hear it. anyway, so, but like there were some houses or apartment buildings when I got to, I was like, okay, this is too scary. I'm just going to the next one. Like, I pretend like I never saw it. So like, are there houses when you're going door to door?
What were you scared
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe there was like a dog or
something.
That's
a good
answer.
Knows? Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, you're ninth, I don't know, fourth or 14 years old. You know, things are scary. And it was right next to like Indian Boundary on the other side there. But are there any houses that like, you know what, maybe I'll just go to the next house or no?
Well,
there
is one funny dog story.
Okay.
I went to a house and it had a big privacy fence and the door was inside the fence.
Sure.
And I never walk alone, so I had somebody with me. And we went in anyway and rang the doorbell. And the next thing you know, you see a dog.
Oh, no.
And it turns out to be a German Shepherd. Coming towards us.
With no, like, leash or anything?
No leash.
Because it was in the yard.
No leash. Right. It was in the... And I think it did say, beware of dogs.
Right. I would have lost.
But we went anyway. So luckily, the guy that I was with knew about dogs. And he's like, okay, Alderman, turn and walk very slowly out the door. But by the time we got to the gate, the dog was at my heels.
Really?
He was
like,
biting
ready
you?
To attack. He did not bite me, thank God.
But he was ready.
He was ready. Wow. He was ready. So
is that legal, by the way?
My dog once attacked the UPS guy and like pinned him by the neck and everything.
Really?
Yes.
You had a big dog, right?
It was...
Was that inside your house?
Okay, so basically we were playing basketball in our driveway. There were a couple kids around and we left the door open and there was just a screen door. And the UPS guy was bringing a package and instead of leaving it on the porch... He really did make a mistake of opening the screen door to put it inside the house. I mean, it's kind of his fault.
Yeah.
But Max, Allah Shalom, was a great dog, leapt out of the screen door. He kind of took some stumbling back, and Max had him pinned on the neck and did you know, like bite his arm was bleeding and stuff like
did
that.
Did you?
We were very nervous. Did that you continue? We were young.
Did you continue with your game until it was over?
We tried to help grab the guy leash, out, but there was nothing we could do. I think my mom or dad had to come out.
Did the guy like
restrain
out?
Max? He was pretty calm and collected. Thankfully, he never like called the authorities or anything because we thought Max was,
put him down.
Was,
right?
Yeah, he was a dead man. And he continued on the route. We used to see him. He used to wave and stuff.
Is that what happens to dogs if they attack people?
I think so.
Is
it like
most likely, I would say.
Maybe we can ask the Alder. Yeah, I don't know. It's like a one and done? Or
if it attacks an Alder, for sure they're dead.
So when you're going door to door, do you get a lot of people that like will actually engage with you? Or is it more just like, thanks so much? Is it like...
Nope.
No, no,
it's fine.
Is it? I mean, is there like any been any like crazy situation that's happened doing that?
Most people know me, so I am very well known throughout the community. So a lot of times, I'll knock on the door and they'll say, "Oh, you know," they'll call their spouse. The Alder's here. The Alderman's here, and they're very excited to see me. And we've been getting great responses at the door. But a lot of times, they'll ask me, especially with the uptick in crime that we've had. I have a lot of concerned constituents about the crime and ask me what I'm doing and how can we get it under control. And we have lots of discussions.
Okay. Like actually like live discussions when you're
live discussions. Yes.
I feel that's like a lost art, like going door to door these days. I mean, like,
with the
phone calls, like, you know, making a phone call, like calling a house phone is like a big no-no nowadays. And especially like knocking on the door, like no one ever opens the front door. So it's like, it's almost old school.
You'd be surprised.
Like,
we are getting a lot of people that open the door.
No, that's great. I'm just saying, but no one's used to like having people come over and knock on the door and ask questions.
Oh, you think it's a mashalach.
Yeah. Or it's like, robocalls or like whatever. It's just, you know, it's just like, you're not used to like people, like another human, like standing at your front door, like, looking to talk to you. So that's, you know, it's a nice thing actually. So
is it ever frustrating because being on the city council, there are 50 all other Alders and there might be concern for the 50th ward that there isn't for, let's say, 49 other wards. And you want to answer your constituents, but there's nothing possible you could do maybe to get something done that you want done. So how do you have to really kind of like mobilize? Is it like Congress being in Washington trying to rally up other people to come to your side? How does that work?
So when you introduce an ordinance, many times you walk around, usually you walk around and tell your colleagues about it and get them to sign on with it. And that makes it a bigger force.
But I'm assuming though, you talk to people, make sure that they're on board before you introduce the ordinance. Or is it really just like right there? Here's my ordinance.
Some do, some don't. It depends. Yeah. You don't have to.
Do you have like some aldermen that it's like your go-to? Like they're always on the same side of the fence as you, like in terms of, obviously each ward is different, the location is different, and you know,
political
the constituents.
Allies.
Right, but in terms of like they're always standing on the same side of the fence as you. I mean, do you have a number of those within the, you know?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
And is this you doing this your own? Do you have a staff? Like who, like are you the actual one that's been doing all, that does all this kind
So I have four people that work in my office. And they are fantastic and really help me get the job done. I care a lot about constituent services. And so they make sure, they know that that's my priority. So they take care of it. And we get back to people. And some things we can take care of, you know, with one phone call. And some are more complex. Some take longer. But as long as you are communicating with them and letting them know that you're working on it, that's the most important thing.
Okay, so obviously you have allies, people you can count on, people are maybe on the same fence. Without going into naming names, are there people that are just like either personality-wise or position-wise, they're enemies? You know not to count on them. They're not counting on you. Those rivalries happen. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's just the nature of politics.
The dynamics of the council has changed in the past 12 years. When I first started, everybody kind of had your back. And now it's split off and there are a lot more progressive aldermen, they're socialists that make it a little different feeling in city council.
Is it because everyone's trying to just save their own seat or is it because they truly have different visions?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So I know one time, and I'm just going to bring this up.
Sure.
We have public comment, 30 minutes of public comment before council, and there was a woman that stood up and started ranting and saying that Kanye West was right.
Really?
This is recently, obviously.
Just a few months ago. And I was the owner alderman.
Oh, I'm saying, but the person who spoke was an alderman?
No, it was public
comment.
You know, like
it was during public comment.
Anyone could get up and say what.
Correct.
Say
and I was the only alderman that stood up and said Kanye was wrong.
Wow.
And all of my colleagues applauded.
You were the only one that said that?
Yes.
Wow.
And I asked that her comments be stricken from the record.
Were they stricken from the record?
Yes, they were.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm always curious because, you know, they have like those YouTube videos of like people complaining like in California about the partying and all that.
Primetime Alex Stein?
Is that the guy?
He's the guy. He like trolls.
Right, yeah, yeah. So, things, yeah, right. So yeah. I assume that I'm sort of imagining because they're 30 minutes, you know, I can't figure out like why someone would
Are these bring comment periods on TV? Can you watch this like on cable?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you can. But I am the Jewish alderman, so I like to make sure that whenever there is some kind of Jewish issue, that I raise it.
And even if something is bad, they can strike it from the record, you know?
They don't typically strike from the record.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you've been, you know, alder for, you know, 12 years. You know, I've seen you, you know, many times when I used to, you know, daven at Kins or, you know, other shuls. So it must have been a huge change going from you're a CPA, you know, you're, you know, a professional.
A mother.
A mother. I was going to throw that in next.
A grand dog mother.
Yes, but I wasn't then.
Yes. Very complicated. I still got to work. I still got to figure it out. But like, so, you know, you walk down the hall, let's say a show and people just, you know, walk by you normally. But now like people see you, you know, I'm not going to sort of give everyone's secret away, but like people are nervous around you. People are like, oh, there's the alder. Like, you know, I better like not goof around or not do something I'm not supposed to be doing. Like I do that. Like I'm 45 years old and I'm still, you know, scared of adults. But like, you know, how does it feel going from like just being like a regular citizen and all of a sudden, you know, you're the alder of the ward and all of a sudden everyone's like has to fear you like you're the principal or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, like, has that changed a lot? What have you like, how has that been?
I have always felt that you should remember where you came from.
Sure.
And I really don't think I'm a scary person. Do I, Josh?
Not
seem
at all.
To be a
Not
job?
I was going to say, because I see you all the time at Jabez and walking around the neighborhood and not at all.
Yeah. I'm just like you. Uh-huh. All of you. And I don't want anybody to be afraid to talk to me because my job is to help people. And so if you're afraid to talk to me, then I'm not going to be able to help you.
Gotcha. So. I don't think you're just like me, but like most people. Yeah. No, I don't think you want to be like me.
But definitely, you know, I can just say Deborah's, you know, always been very approachable, very friendly. You know, when we have like block events.
I was asking about the block party.
Yeah, she's front and center.
Is she in the dunk tank?
Were you in that? I don't think you were there this year.
Oh, did you have a dunk tank?
No. Would they let me in the dunk tank?
We've had it before. I don't know if we had it this year or not, but we've definitely had it in the past.
As the son, actually, of a former politician, my dad had a little taste of politics. He was the mayor
and the son of a woman who's not an expert in TV.
She's definitely an expert in TV. I think we have to have her on to rebut some of these claims. Yes. But my father was in politics for some time, right? He was the village president of a small municipality close to here. While there's a lot of pride in the family for, you know, a parent being in politics and pride in what they do and what they accomplish, it does kind of get annoying as a kid sometimes when people come up to you that maybe don't have much to talk about and they just want to talk about that. And you're kind of like, yo, like, what are we talking about? It seems like a crutch to say hello when we don't have to talk. And no offense to anyone. Don't read into that. Only Josh. But do you ever get complaints from your kids? Like, oh, mom, like, do you have to do this again?
Thank God I became alderman after my kids were pretty much grown. This is a very time-consuming job. I am on call 24/6, except for Shabbos. So when I first became alderman, it was a big adjustment for my children, even though they were older, but still. One time it was Purim, and I forgot to send them Shalach Manos, even though they weren't living here, and I heard about it from them. Uh-oh. So
you could have done the Yeshiva one. It's like the really easiest.
I know.
A lot of emails recently.
Did you get the email today?
I got twice in one day. Maybe two different emails.
I got back to, yeah, same okay. thing. And I responded.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay.
Please don't email me again. I responded.
No.
For another show.
I'm off the list.
Yes.
For another show, yeah.
So it was definitely an adjustment for them. But, you know, most of my kids are out of the house now. So, and they know that it's election season now because they'll call me and I don't answer. And they're like, Mom, I haven't spoken to you all day. And, you know, I'll tell them, oh, I usually eat very healthy food. And I'm like eating donuts and pizza. And they're like, I know it's election season.
Perm is after the election this year. So you'll.
Yes.
Right? But I can't even imagine. I mean, being an alderman is a full-time job plus, and then all of a sudden you got to worry about re-election, which is like another full-time job. You know, even if you had somebody who was just a candidate.
Is it every 4 years?
Every 4 years.
Even just a candidate, it's like a full-time job to be a candidate, and all of a sudden you have a full-time job of doing, you know, doing the job before. So
there debates?
There are some debates, yes.
And is this like the prep for debate? I'm just always interested in this. Like, is this like a lot of prep? Is this sort of like you go in, sort of like want to be fresh, or are you researching a lot heavily beforehand?
I always like to be prepared.
Okay.
Sort of like I did about 24 hours of research before coming on here because I wanted to make sure I was prepared.
I think Jordan's thinking what I'm thinking, where the next debate is going to be.
Oh, it's got to be here.
Yes.
We will host it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We will host it in Josh's basement.
Okay. Yes.
We would love it. In an undisclosed basement.
Yes.
Have you considered perhaps bringing one of your adult kids home and grooming them as like a dynastic successor?
I don't think my kids would have anything to do with politics.
Right. Fair enough.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of times you just see what people go through and, you know, in terms of the stress. And it's like you said, 24/7 because if there was something, you know, God forbid that was serious that happened, you know, over a Shabbos or a 3-day Yontif, obviously.
I had to walk to the police station on Yontif one time because something happened.
I can imagine.
So,
what are the biggest changes you've seen to your ward over the past 12 years? Good or bad?
Well, I love this ward.
Of course.
And I love the diversity of the ward. We have a Jewish community, an Indian community, a Pakistani community, and a Syrian community. And what I love the most about it is that, for the most part, we all get along. So I say this all the time, that if the rest of the world could see us, you know, they would be amazed at how well we get along. So
it's a very
point. Like that.
Obviously, election season, there's always kind of like the current hot button issues, right? Whether it's crime, whether it's I don't know, weather-related stuff. Josh is very concerned about weather stuff.
Weather
every storm, he's bugging out. I'm sure he blows up your phone.
Why is it snowing so much? I'm not voting for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't. You know, listen.
Climate change.
You know, what was the mayor in the 70s that wasn't reelected? Jane Byrne.
Yeah. She won because
the didn't come out. Yeah. So that is important, obviously. What are some things like 2 years from now? Let's say everything's calm, everything, you know, secure in your place. Everyone's happy. What are some things that like you'd want to tackle or projects? You know, I know the last time you got the library on, what was that, Pratt and Western?
Yep.
Right? So what are some things, let's say, looking forward, away from the election season, 2 years from now, what are some improvements or what would you like to see kind of develop in the ward?
Well, it's actually economic development. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on. We just completed a Western Avenue study. The next phase is to bring developers in to look at specific locations within the Western Avenue corridor. To try to
like closer
do
to
an
Peterson,
overhaul.
Like closer to Peterson by like the Toyota, that monstrosity, the Toyota building?
Well, this Western Avenue study stretches through four wards, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it starts at Howard. And it goes all the way down.
Western, if I'm not mistaken, is the longest street in Chicago?
Correct.
Yes.
I think one of the longest streets in the country.
Is it really?
Yeah, the country, the world. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. That's a great fact. Okay, so economic development.
Economic development, and right now it's public safety.
Public safety.
100% public safety.
And I assume that's probably an issue for all 50 wards at the moment, or maybe some more than others, you think?
Well, I think crime throughout the city is out of control. But here on the 50th ward, we've had an uptick in homicides. And I received, I don't know if you read my newsletter.
Always.
Do all of you read my newsletter? I only got one person saying yes.
Y'all doesn't.
I read it.
And you know I don't read, so.
Oh, okay.
If I had to experience it, then I could tell you about it.
Well,
I got it.
Okay, so.
Did you write in high school? Because you would have read it then.
Maybe that would have helped you win your election.
Yes.
Newsletters.
Yes.
There was a famous newsletter at the time in high school, actually, and he wasn't, he didn't write
podcast,
for it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Why do you call it a newsletter? It was not a newsletter.
Student publication.
It was a newspaper.
Okay. But sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, we've had this uptick in crime. I have already been able to get 20 additional officers. I have since been able to get more officers. We're having the sheriff's office come in and help with patrolling the streets to get the crime under control. I've asked for additional funding from our state senator to get some lighting to brighten the areas. Right. And so I'm trying to be as proactive as I can. Because we need to get this crime under control. I mean, I raised my kids here, and people should not be afraid to go outside at night or to let their kids go outside.
I think police visibility is one of the biggest deterrents
of crime. That's what
people
want to see, yes.
Right. But it is the recent uptick in crime of people that happen to have, like, crossing through the neighborhood and all of a sudden, you know, they commit a crime, or is it people that actually live in the 50th ward, or I mean, or you can't speak to that, or
no?
I mean,
most of the crime that's happening is from people that do not live here. I have been collecting testimonials from people about their experiences in the ward with the uptick in crime, and I'm very shortly going to be presenting. I have over 150 testimonials, and I'm going to be taking them to the mayor and presenting them to the mayor. I just want to bring as much attention to our neighborhood as possible. If anybody's out there hasn't sent theirs in
we
yet.
We actually have more listeners than 150
people. Wait, hold on. So how can they send that to you?
They can send it to ward50@cityofchicago.org.
We would offer to have them. Right. We would offer to have them email us and then forward it along. But we're not
sure if the email works.
No. Right, we're not
okay.
Are we sure the email works? We have to pause.
I'm sorry, Deborah. We have to read an ad.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I have two ads. The first one's very quick. So we offered because no one emailed us, and we kept saying this email. We never got an email. We offered free ads to the first three people who sent in an ad. So the first ad is simply, they didn't even send an email message. It's the subject line. It just said, Richard Silverman needs to be a guest, period. that is the first ad supplied by one of our strong listeners. So I guess we'll have to figure that out. The other is an actual ad, so I'll just quickly read it. This episode of Hard Talk is brought to you by Formula One Auto Care. Keep your car looking... it's a real ad. Keep your car looking and running like new with a wide range of premium care products from Formula One, from ceramic wax sprays to motor oils to tire cleaners and more. Formula One has everything you need to keep your vehicle in top condition. And now, with the new Formula One ceramic color wax spray available in black, white, silver, red, and blue, you can give your car a custom look that will turn heads on the road. So head to your nearest AutoZone and try out the new Formula One ceramic color wax spray for yourself. Your car will thank you. A great ad sent in by a listener. He sent in a second one next episode. We'll save the next one. It's that long as well, so that one will be next episode. But so people can send these testimonials to your email. Don't bother with ours.
Yes, ward50@cityofchicago.org.
Or they can tweet at Josh.
That's true also, Josh Rosen15. But I think also for these people that like to post things on social media and complain, this is an opportunity, you know, don't mean to speak for you, but there's an opportunity to get your voice heard and send the email and it'll get presented.
I don't know if you heard in researching that Josh, when he swims in the morning, you might not see his car early in the morning.
But you'll see it 9 to 5.
What's that?
Because he has his home office.
Yeah. Josh is always, he doesn't work. But when he goes swimming, he wears a swim cap. What are your thoughts on him? Like, is that normal? Do you think that he wears a swim cap? He doesn't have much air.
Where do you swim, Josh?
I swim a lifetime.
Do they require it?
They do not require it, but most people do wear one.
What about the JCC that's located here in the 50th Ward?
That's a good question. Hold on. That's a good question for what are your thoughts on the JCC? Obviously, that's like a private institution, but any push to try to like revamp that place?
Have you seen the new playground there?
Beautiful. Thank you to the Rother family for pushing that and supporting it.
And so we have to find a new home for Kins North.
We do. We will. I think there's some talks in the works. But,
I know.
We both go to that synagogue, so we look forward to the development there.
Do you behave around the alder?
Doesn't usually stay for Kiddush.
No, I'm usually out of there.
I don't know if you noticed. He's not such a social person.
Yeah, I know.
I'm working on it.
I would recommend next time, right before the rabbi speaks before Mosaf, sneak out. Give Josh maybe a L'chaim or two, and then maybe he'll loosen him up a little bit.
I'm listening to the speech.
The thing is that Josh gets there early and I get there late. Sometimes we cross paths as he's coming home and I'm going there.
Yeah. Do you ever notice, Josh, is he a creature of habit and sits in the same place every week, or does he ever move around? Is he kind of relaxed, chill, willing to sit anywhere?
I'm in the back corner.
And always there?
Always.
Would you ever sit anywhere else?
No.
If someone were sitting in your seat when you got there, would you ask them to move?
No, but I would sit around there.
Okay.
Would you hover,
make them feel awkward?
Yes. Depending on who it is.
I do that. Here's my question. When you see Josh walking home from show, is he usually carrying a banana with him?
I haven't noticed.
Is that something that you do? Yes. I mean, there was a time.
He does? What do you mean there's a time? Every week.
Sometimes I carry bananas to show.
Guess what, Josh? Fun fact about me. I love bananas. I eat a banana every day.
Everyone loves bananas. I eat multiple. No one carries them to show. That's the difference.
Because if I need like a quick snack and there's nothing else there, I just pull out a banana.
Someone mentioned that online there was some article that said bananas are not healthy.
I don't know.
You can't have like 20 a day, but I think one or two days fine.
Does your wife bring snacks for you just in case? Because I know you have to bring a banana.
She doesn't go to shul, but if she did, she probably would.
Hold on. So you bring the banana to shul. Do you eat it at shul?
Well, I don't do it every week, but.
But when you do, you don't stay for kiddush. So when do you eat the banana?
It depends.
Like where's the same place? In the back corner? In the middle of davening?
can we get off the banana?
No, I'm really curious. You COVID, have to answer this.
During COVID, when
I'm going to be paying a lot more attention to you, yes. Yes.
I remember when I was
come back on.
I know
COVID.
Where he sits now, and I know he has a banana. Yeah. So
when Kins had their minions, so Josh used to literally walk almost a mile, probably carrying a banana there and back, or I don't know what it was.
And every week in my bag, there'd be a banana, some like sucking candies, and a bottle of water.
Okay. Can you tell us where you eat the banana?
I would eat it usually after diving.
On the way home?
Generally, yes.
Like walking, or like you just stop at like a corner and like peel the banana and eat it there?
I would
there.
Peel it as I'm walking.
And what would you do with the...
I would throw it out. In
where? A garbage can?
Always.
He'd throw it out like a Doyle rolls, like in the middle of the street.
Someone a garbage slips. On the way home. I find a garbage and I throw it out.
Is that legal? Are you allowed to throw a banana peel in the street, or is that littering?
That's even though, littering.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Even though like...
I'm not a litterer. Okay.
What garbage on the way, you know, from where
like, Kins... Like Pride in California, there's like each
which
corner.
Street okay, but from like, Kins North, where
no,
would your garbage be?
I'm talking about Kins Maine.
So you can't do that anymore.
Kins North, I would throw out in the shul, but no, I don't do it anymore.
Do you try and avoid being seen eating a banana?
Always, yes.
This, like hide in an alley or something like that, it's, just it's like a, eat your
it's,
banana?
It's just one of the things that I do. I do a lot of weird things.
Back to Deborah.
Yes.
We're coming upon the 85th anniversary of an unfortunate incident that happened in your family. 85 years ago in Memphis, your great-grandfather, if I understand correctly, tragically passed away after falling down an elevator shaft. Does that ring familiar?
That is not correct.
It's not?
No.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Jordan's been...
Was his name Morris Loscove?
I have an uncle, Morris, who's still living.
But he was named after... Your dad's grandfather?
I don't believe, I have never heard that
Jordan's
before.
Jordan's been troubled
but
with this
go home
all day.
And find out.
He's been troubled with this all day because when he's doing his research.
I was like, how do I bring this up in a way? I don't know.
There was an episode of LA Law where someone fell down an elevator shaft, just FYI.
Can I read you the headline from the 1937
sure.
Memphis newspaper? Three-story fall fatal to Loscove. Morris Loscove, general manager of H. Blockman & Co., died yesterday afternoon at 2:30 at the hospital. When he fell into an elevator shaft, he was 65 years of age, a native of Russia, known for his charities, great man, and so on and so on. He was a founder of the congregation Mishnah Church and was a member of the Baron Hirsch Synagogue, the Sons of Israel, the Memphis Zionists. He lives two daughters, Mrs. Ben Margolin, with whom he lived, and Mrs. Philip Davidson, two brothers in Brooklyn and Russia, and four sons, Arthur, Isaac, and Max Loscove, and Rabbi Abe Loscove of Palestine. Is that him, maybe?
Yes, you just, I just
oh
learned
my
something
God.
New.
Wow. Nailed it. Nailed
Arthur
it.
Loscove was my grandfather. So,
so your great grandfather.
Must be my great grandfather.
Wow.
So I think sometimes that the unfortunate circumstances of people's lives sometimes.
You're going to have to share
forward.
That article with me, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I will. So, sometimes the unfortunate circumstances that happen in family kind of lead and teach the future generations. So it's kind of, I'm thinking that. Your emphasis on public safety could come from originally come back to that kind of that looking after people and workers and people making sure that people don't stumble, no pun intended, into danger. Is that fair?
So deep. What a comment. Yes.
I'm sorry to bring up such, you know, tough stuff to deal with that
I
you
know.
Were previously unaware of.
Yes, I know. Boy, I'm going to go call my father as soon as we get home.
Do your parents live in Memphis still?
No, my parents live at Winston Towers.
Oh, really?
Yes, my biggest supporters.
And they came to Chicago how long ago?
So they came about 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All of my siblings live here. So they decided they didn't want to be in Memphis alone anymore. They wanted to be with their children and grandchildren. So,
what do you think the biggest differences are between, I would say, Chicago, let's say the 50th Ward specifically, and the Memphis that you grew up in?
The weather.
Okay, fair answer.
Josh,
and Memphis is hilly. Memphis is hilly.
I've never been to Memphis.
Memphis is very friendly. A lot of sirs and ma'ams.
That's true.
Southern hospitality.
Southern hospitality.
You grew up with that.
Yes, I did.
And they have the ducks, right, in that hotel.
The Peabody Ducks.
The Peabody Ducks.
Yeah. Can you explain that to us?
Sure, yeah.
I'm not familiar.
There's a hotel, and then every day people gather to watch ducks walk through the lobby.
In the morning, they come down and they walk down a red carpet.
In the lobby.
Yes, and they go into a pond.
Yes.
And they swim in the pond all day, and then at like 5 o'clock, they roll out the red carpet.
Was that a Goldberg event when you went there?
We actually never went, but we went to Graceland, and that's why I'm allowed to have my opinion on Elvis. That I do.
So like, you went to Graceland, and you took nothing out of it.
Correct. it was like, I don't know, I think it was in his house or his car, but like to go on the main part, it was too long of a line, so I didn't do that part.
Okay, right. I just, you have an issue with lines.
I went to a Grizzlies game.
I thank you for coming on. This has been a enlightening experience.
She said it all.
Do you have any like final comments or any kind of thing you want to leave our listeners with?
February 28th is election day. So everybody in the 50th ward have to go out and vote. Everyone better vote.
I'm calling a timeout for 1 second. Well, not really a timeout, but isn't the Halacha Summit on the 28th?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
But that doesn't stop anyone from voting.
No, I understand.
Early voting starts on the 13th. No, you can vote at the Northtown Library.
The push really has got to be... This early voting thing has changed everything.
It's big.
I mean, just as a guy, I know, Joel, you don't like lines. I don't like lines, not as much as you, but it makes it so much easier to vote.
I've never waited for voting. Any place I went, it was never a wait. Never waited more than 1 minute.
Oddly, actually, because I noticed that this last election, because everyone early votes... Election day, there's nobody there on early voting. Sometimes you get stuck in a long line.
Can you vote now? Did the voting start already?
You can vote downtown, but early voting at the Northtown Library starts on the 13th.
Okay.
At Warren Park, do they still have
voting? It's not at Warren Park anymore.
I got caught with that last time.
I've waited at Warren Park quite a while. During COVID, I waited a long time.
The first couple of days and the last few days are very busy. So if you're going to early vote...
Okay.
Go kind of in the middle.
You saw the line and then you waited, or you just went home and said,
I waited because I forgot why, but I waited.
Because you have to wait because you have to vote.
I had to vote. But it was like every 6 feet they make you line up and it just took forever.
You don't find voting overrated?
No.
Okay. I'm just confirming.
Do you always vote, Joel?
If I'm around, yeah. If I have time.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Bad answer. Usually,
any place that I had to vote, it's usually like I walk out of my show. As I pull up to the show, I see like the polling places are open. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to vote after. And I go there after, and it takes like a minute, and then I'm done. So it was never an issue of voting. So I don't know if on the other side of the river if it takes too long.
So it's Northtown Library now? No, where's
Northtown Library at Pratt and Western.
Pratt and Western. Parking is a little tough, though.
Parking is tough, but we are trying to make some accommodations around there to not have to pay the meter. Stay tuned.
That's a good idea. And you don't have to be a registered party, right? There's no party affiliation for aldermen.
Right on site, so you don't have to register.
And you can register on site. So for those of you who aren't registered, just bring two pieces of identification and you'll be able to vote.
Voting is a good thing no matter what, right?
Correct.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
This history was made tonight.
Yes, we should increase our listeners.
Our female listeners for sure should
for
go
sure,
up.
Yes.
Okay. Taking us out. Okay, we are here, everybody, for the post-game recap. We just wrapped up with Alderman Deborah Silverstein. How'd you guys think it went?
Alder.
Just the Alder. Right.
Yes. I learned something new. Different than the Elder, because I once...
I want to point something out. Part of the troll, I don't know if people get it, but Josh and I for years have, we came to a realization...
Do you know Elder is like I think it's the Mormon church. They're all elders.
Yes.
You know, rabbi,
yeah.
Elders.
No, I gotcha. So, yes. That wasn't
Alder.
My point.
No, I'm just saying Alder reminded me of Elder.
We got
go on.
Okay, so I just want to point out to our audience that over the years, I've been to a couple different occasions, whether it was a simcha or whether Yoel was honored, a lot of great accomplishments. It dawned upon me that every time he gets up to speak, that before his speech, or really the beginning of a speech, is always a good 5 to 10 minutes just talking about how he came to write the speech. So I was on the plane on Southwest, and he goes into a tangent about the circumstance where he wrote the speech.
He hasn't started the speech yet.
He just goes on and on and on before he even gets the speech. And then we started making fun of it because one time I videotaped it and called it out.
It was great.
And then he became self-conscious about it, but he still does it.
But here's my question. Yeah. Did I mention I was A-list preferred on Southwest?
I don't know what that means. I don't ever sit in good
status.
The status. Southwest
A-1,
status.
A1.
It was because my kids had a flight to Baltimore, and he's used the family credit card. It was Southwest. But now you couldn't pay me to fly Southwest. But anyway, yeah.
You don't fly Southwest anymore?
Just like Pesach, Orlando, because you get free luggage. That's about it.
And it goes to Fort Lauderdale.
No, that's Orlando.
They do go to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, back to Deborah.
People have to know that this is actually a new segment of our show when we have guests, is when we can finally get them out the door. Not that there was an issue with the Alder, but we will be doing a post show.
And I don't know after the edit how long this is going, but there was a time a couple episodes ago where we were kind of bugging out towards the end about the time. I don't care. People can turn it off.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, Rogan goes for, you know, 2-3 hours.
They say keep it under an hour, right? That's
they,
general
they
consensus.
Say that, but we don't abide by rules.
I think most of our listeners stay in their car to finish the episode.
Or you could pause it and come back to it later. Right. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, okay. Right.
Not every episode is going to appeal to every listener, but that's okay.
That should.
Okay, so who do you think was the MVP of this episode?
That's tough.
I don't know.
I took a big L, I'm going to admit, because I was racking my brain as I was like, where's Deborah from? I figure out she's from Memphis. I go into my ancestry. I figure out, I'm like, her great, wow, like, look at this anecdote. Her great-grandfather died tragically in an elevator accident, but that's not something to really, like, laugh about. But at the same time, it happened in 1937, so I thought it's fair game.
What would you have
but
done?
But I didn't know how to prompt it
what
at all.
What would you have done if she just started, like, broke down crying. Started crying right in front of
me. We would have
broke down. Like,
I would have said to cut it, but knowing you guys, it would have stayed in for sure.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
I feel like she was a hard interview to prepare for, right? Because like she's an adult.
Oh, we were all nervous.
She's our first female. We were all very nervous.
Even when she walked in, I was definitely nervous.
It's like, you know, like she's like a real person.
It's very difficult to give an MVP. I thought both of you guys showed strength. It was a very difficult interview. It wasn't someone who we're just buddies with, and it wasn't anybody who, at least I've never really spoken with her before for longer than a minute. I'm not sure about Jordan and, you know, Josh, your neighbors with her. You probably, you know, trade pleasantries when you...
Is we say hello. I mean, look, she's a very nice person. I thought she did it. She was a great sport. She really seemed to enjoy herself.
It was hard to prepare for me because I wasn't sure the extent of which we could go into politics. I mean,
that's
not because she wasn't... It turned out she was completely open to it, but you, Josh, when you texted her, you presented it as like, don't worry, we won't talk politics. So
We're not a political show, so I don't want her to think it where she's signing up for, you know, Rogan.
Right. And would you endorse her personally? The show itself, listen, we're not political. We're not registered as anything.
I'm a big Deborah Silverstein fan.
Okay.
You know, I will say in terms of ranking us though, I wasn't thrilled with my performance. I'll be honest. I thought I was a little bit on the defense from the beginning after I was bullied. Not bullied. I was made to be the subject of a few one-liners, so I sort of...
You're still in your head right now.
I sort of felt myself a little bit
mom.
In my head.
By Jordan's mom. Or a mom.
I've been
mother.
Triggered since,
by a mother.
Since yes, I got
a
that mother. Text. Surprisingly little about music. I cannot get over that.
Look, I know little about music.
I don't know if she's going to be upset that I shared that. I mean, it's a little...
No way.
You know, I would, I think she's, you know,
she should stand behind it.
I hereby...
Right.
I would let her come on the show.
I would challenge your mom to a music...
Oh my God. You don't know where you're getting into.
At any point.
Stump the buoy.
Any like musician that you're a fan of, she's probably read like 2 biographies.
I mean, no,
three
I'm not talking about like their history. I'm talking about like the actual music questions.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy for this. Because
okay, that could be, you know,
like albums or song titles.
Right,
or
you'd probably beat her in that.
That I would
I
be
think.
Good at.
Like, she has her particular.
She'll know, I don't know about the history of where they came from. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'd fail at this because like.
Like if you want to go like Don Henley, she's going to kill you. Or Tina Turner or The Who. She loves The Who. So there's certain bands where she'd probably kill you. But yeah, maybe your knowledge specific to music is a little broader.
I welcome the competition.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not the right person for this. Because you know like those memes that like I was like today years old when I learned this. Like I was like today years old when I learned like Led Zeppelin was not the name of like the lead singer for Led Zeppelin.
Wait.
You thought that was a name?
Because there's some bands where it's suggestive a little bit that might be the name.
Like you just told me Steely Dan.
A person's name.
Jordan, you're just talking about Steely Dan.
Jordan, can you name?
That's fair. Steely Dan is a little different because
that a person?
The word Dan,
or
Dan
like
is
Jethro Tull, right? You would think that's a person.
It is a person.
It's not a person.
I used to live
in Jordan, Chicago. Can you name all 4 members of Led Zeppelin?
Easily.
Go.
Okay, John Bonham is the drummer. Okay, John.
Died what year?
Early 80s, so maybe 80. 80, oh, yeah. Early 80s is accurate, okay? Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones.
Excellent.
Guys, we're going to get into it.
And
our...
I did not Google that.
Can I know.
I think we should save a lot of this because I did have, was it House of the Holies or something like that? Or 4. There was Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. You know, but another time we'll
those
discuss.
Those are two different albums.
Yes, but another time we'll discuss.
You had one of them?
I had a CD collection. But we'll get to another episode.
That will be its own episode.
I would love to see that CD.
We're going to have a music episode.
Yes.
And what happened with my CDs. This is also a story what happened
with
my CDs.
Well, don't get into it now. Save it.
I won't.
Save it. Okay. Save it. Anyways, let's finish
the recap. And I want to point out one area of improvement that we need. I think we can tell the listeners.
Yeah.
I'm on my train. I've got my list of questions kind of to lead them into a certain direction. I need you guys to jump in be a little quicker. Sometimes I have to make eye contact to be like, hello, say something.
So you think we need to do a better job of being your support staff?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I think we're like a team, right?
I mean, I happen to think that the three of us together are unmatched in terms of being able to intersperse our conversation.
I think so, but I need you guys to cue it up a little
Sadly,
quicker.
When I jump in, it's usually as reference to something that has occurred in my life. And then it's usually
but that's fine. High school. No, Yoel, yes. I give credit to. Yoel does a good job. Yeah. He's got his thoughts, his like long-ranging ideas, and then he goes for it.
I listen back to episodes, and I'm like enthralled. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love it.
I will go home and Google that word.
But by the way, the weird thing is Yoel has a hard time listening to episodes.
Yes,
I did it first too, but and some episodes that people think are good, Yoel will mute, it's trash, I can't listen to this, whatever, I'm over it.
But
what is that?
But I will say, hold on, today he said the episode he thought was really went well today.
I thought it was a great episode. I thought, you know, it could have went really bad.
Tonight.
Like, yes. Like we could have been like just staring at the clock to see how long it was going for. And all of a sudden I turn around and like 50 minutes.
So what to talk about. Yeah. Right. But I thought it flowed.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hope people enjoy. Great. Hope people take something out of it.
And if people have comments, again, where can they email us?
HardTalkChicago@gmail.com. And by the way, I think the next email, someone else emailed a friend of mine and it wasn't so much an ad to read, but more of like a suggested topic, which I think is a good topic. And we'll have an episode about that topic, but there's one more ad space. Free ad. Don't wait. Jump and grab that free ad. The next one.
We got one more left.
Okay, guys, let's take it out. And this outro, I think we got to do it. I think I'm feeling good. Y'all's happy.
I'm done.
Let's do it.
Okay. Take it, y'all.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
Love it.
I'm a fool to do no dirty work no more. That's all the words I know. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
You can see him next week, the Marble Steve Minion, Friday night, davening for the Umwood. And with that, we are out.